This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, and I'm speaking with Suzanne Barraza. Locals all know her as the founder and director of Real Thing Productions. Uranium Drive-In is her second feature-length documentary. The first, Bagot, went on to international success. And Uranium Drive-In is also her second world premiere at Mountain Film in Telluride this weekend, Memorial Weekend, May 24th to May 27th. The premiere of the film takes place Saturday, May 25th, 6:15 at the Palm Theater. Suzanne, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So I'm curious, what event or series of events led you to a career as a filmmaker?
Oh, wow. Let's see. You know, I worked as a theater director and performer for years, and that was what I studied in college, and that, you know, that really seemed to be what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. But I started to realize that a lot of my creative ideas actually came to me in film, so as images that would need to be shot, and stories that wouldn't take place on a stage. So, and it was kind of nagging at me, and eventually I had this short story idea that just kept haunting me, and it kept coming back, and finally I just said, okay, that's it, I'm going to film. And I worked for the Telluride Film Festival, and I had for quite a few years. So I talked to a couple of my friends from the film festival, and I said, hey, I really want to do this short film. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, well, I've got a camera. And so we set off and made this short film, and I kind of caught the bug then. And I became one of, right, I was working on that right when it was changing to non where you do it on. Where you do it on a computer, so I kind of had to teach myself how to edit. Mm-hmm. And from that, I just sort of started getting hired as an editor. So I did that for several years and tried to do theater at the same time, and finally I just realized that film was really the medium for me.
Wonderful. Well, great story. So, yeah. And it leads to my second question. Mm-hmm. So I was asking you originally, I wanted to ask you rather, if you had any technical training in the medium of film when you started working for the Gages on their film about dams, or did you learn most of it on the job? Was the Gage experience part of your learning experience that enabled you to do a film like Bagot?
Absolutely. You know, I always talk about the Gages. Really, they're my mentors. They were my film school. That really helped me understand story and how to put things together. So when I first started working for them, I was pretty technical as far as how to edit. Excuse me, like push this button, push that button. Mm-hmm. But over time, we really became colleagues, and I adore them. We have a great mutual respect for each other. You know, as far as training, I have to say that I really feel like studying theater and directing really helped me with film, because composition and what makes up a frame, a stage in a proscenium arch is almost like looking through a lens. And so I feel like I at least had that eye and that training. So I'm really, really pleased that I had that theater background. And you know, even though it wasn't film school, I feel like it really served me.
Wonderful. Thank you for that answer. And to put it in perspective, what year did you work with the Gages?
I started working for them. The first editing work I did was with Doug Barry, and that was around 2000. I think I started with the Gages maybe 2000. Gosh, I'm so bad at dates. Maybe 2002, 2003.
But the early part, early 2000s.
Yeah, whenever Troubled Waters, we worked on Troubled Waters as our first film, the film about dams, and I'm not positive what year that came out, but definitely in the 2000s, early 2000s.
So how much time lapsed between finishing Troubled Waters and the start of Bagot, and what inspired you to make Bagot?
Well, so I worked with the Gages on a couple of other films as well. We did American Outrage. We did one called Water, A Clear Solution. We did a Blue Planet Run project together. And then I started work with them on Bitter 70, but I guess I started Bagot before that. So Bagot started in 2008. We started Bagot 2008, and at first it was just me by myself. And what inspired me to make it was sort of a lull in work, and I was listening to the Kodo radio, and I heard a story about the plastic bag challenge between Aspen and Telluride, and I thought, oh, that would be a nice little short film about this challenge. This could be pretty cool. And, you know, maybe a year before, I made some New Year's resolution that I was not going to use plastic bags anymore and bring my own bag to the store, like, ooh, I'm an eco warrior, which is kind of a joke. But anyway, so started initially just going to do a short film and got a little bit of funding from the town of Telluride. And but, you know, once, sort of like the rabbit hole, once we started, or I started doing research into plastic bags and single-use disposables, plastics like water bottles and coffee cups and just all kinds of things that are only used once, I really got taken in and just realized that if I didn't know a lot of these things, and I consider myself to be pretty up on environmental issues and on health issues as well, that probably a lot of mainstream America didn't know it either. So it pretty quickly became a feature-length film.
Okay. So I have the same question then for your uranium drive-in. In general, do you find your subjects or do they find you? They seem to find you. Is that true? And was that true for Uranium Drive-In?
I think from my, just in general, the way I like to work, I like to feel inspired by something and not really think like, gosh, I really got to come up with an idea. I kind of wait until something hits me over the head and says, I'm going to be your next obsession. And because you have to really, really want to do this, or the issue, or the topic, or whatever you're choosing to make a film about, you got to really, really like it, because it's going to be in your life for at least 2 years, if you're lucky, and probably even longer. So I definitely, when something hits me, I usually take that kind of as a sign, and then I really think about it, like, can I live with this for that long?
Perfect. Thank you. With Bagot, humor roped us in, despite the fact that subject matter, single-use plastic, is dead serious global challenge that affects our personal health and the health of the oceans and more. But I understand with Uranium Drive-In, you changed your approach entirely. Why?
Well, one is that you just want to show that you're not a one-trick pony. I think there's a little bit of that. Also, I think inherently plastic is a little funny. Like, there's all this, you know, just from the 50s and all this stuff like plastics, how it was going to save the world, and in many ways it has, it kind of has a funny bone to it. And it has the double entendre of plastic being kind of false. And so there was some humor already sort of built in. Uranium, not so much. I mean, uranium is not really very funny. I don't think of uranium and kind of get tickled. So also I feel like because it was such a subject so close to home and that people's lives were being so directly impacted, that it really felt like it deserved real reverence and respect. And so we just decided to approach it completely differently. And people who have seen Bagot, I guess this is a good time just to say that it's really not that kind of film at all. It's about as opposite as you could get, and not totally intentionally, but Bagot is more of an essay-style documentary where it's kind of like Plastics 101. You're going to really learn a lot about plastics and what's going on. But Uranium Drive-In is very much a character-driven story, and around this community, or these two communities, or several communities, and you're really not going to learn much about uranium at all. Or about nuclear energy. It's more about people's opinions, and what is truth for one person is definitely not truth for someone else. And so just to kind of give people a little bit of a heads up, if they're expecting a Bagot, they're absolutely not going to get that.
Okay. I think Bagot took you about 5 years, and it's still going on, but that included research and development. By development, I mean finding the funding and all. So how ambitious a project did Uranium Drive-In turn out to be? And could you explain in general what goes on in the making of a documentary like those two, when you're talking about really controversial subjects?
Well, Bagot, it's been 5 years now, and it's still going. So the actual making of the film and editing of the film was about 2 years, a little over 2 years. And Uranium Drive-In has been a little longer. It's been about 2.5 years. And, you know, like you're saying, funding is a big part of it, and it can really stall you out. So we will sort of look for characters. And especially early funding is difficult. There's not much out there. They all want to see something, and it's becoming more and more competitive. So you have to show them more and more. So we sort of did, for Uranium Drive-In, we sort of went to the West End and met people and started doing interviews and started trying to pick out who would really be our main characters. And because it was so close, I mean, we could literally just hop in the car and drive down there. Sometimes we just really would take a break and just sometimes even for a month at a time and just sort of think about it. And we wrote, you know, tons and tons of grants. There's a lot of grant writing involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started filming in the fall of 2010, and here we are in 2013. So, yeah, it's definitely a long process. And I'm not really sure if I even answered your question, but
no, you did.
I guess we're a lot of hats.
Yeah, I wanted to give people the idea that this is not, I have an idea for a film, I go shoot it, and I'm done. It's a much more comprehensive project.
Yeah, and you know, the grant writing and funding, that's kind of like often the least fun part of it, but it's really necessary, or you're really not making a film. And you keep thinking like, well, surely this will go away, and as you do more and more films. But even talking to incredibly famous directors at Film Festival or at Mountain Film, it never goes away. You're always having to find the funding for one of your ideas or projects. You just have to kind of get used to it and know that's a major part of the process.
Great. Thank you. Did you work with the team you used for Bagot on this project? And who are the key players for Uranium Drive-In?
You know, some of the team was the same. Michelle Hill, who's now married, and she's Michelle Mann. Michelle Mann came on as a producer partway through Bagot, and she is still with me, thank God. And same with Casey Ney. He came on to Bagot as an editor and graphic designer, and now he is producer and editor for Uranium Drive-In. And Judy Cohen, who is now at the AHA School, she was with us through all of Uranium Drive-In and part of Bagot as a producer. And for Uranium Drive-In, she also did camera, which was a lot of fun for her because she's a really creative person. And then our directors of photography were different for this film. We had Ben Knight and Jim Hurst, although Jim Hurst shot all the Midway stuff for Bagot, so we could only afford to send one person. Let's see, who else? This is where if I forget someone, they're going to really be annoyed with me. And it's like, hey, I haven't even had my coffee yet.
it's fine.
Then,
I wanted to just get some key player ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have Suze Remick worked with us, Bagot Assistant Editing, and worked with this film. And then David Byers came on with this film as an editor and a shooter. So old and new mixed.
Okay. Thank you. So what next? What are your plans for Uranium Drive-In after Mountain Film? Will you be working with the same distributor? Is PBS in the picture?
We are going to apply to POV, which is a fantastic, or an independent lens. They're two very fantastic PBS programs for documentary film. And we would like to go back to, we're really happy with all our distributors for Bagot. So we would probably go back to them all and just say, hey, here's our new film. And we've just been pretty focused on trying to finish the film. And so, you know, the distributors know we have something new, and we just are going to show it to them as soon as possible now that we have something.
It's nice that the distributors are in place. So this is Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with director Suzanne Barraza. Her film, Uranium Drive-In, a world premiere of this film, takes place at Mountain Film in Telluride. The first screening is Saturday night, May 25th, starting at 6:15 at the Palm Theater. Suzanne, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah, Susan, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. Thank you.